Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bocce Boys podcast. We have a lot to talk about. It's the official Super Bowl preview episode. We have a lot to get to with that. And then the biggest NBA trade of all time happened, slash the biggest sports trade of all time happened. So we got to get to that. But don't forget, the birds are in the bowl. Davis, roll that shit. Davis, welcome back to the show. We have a lot to discuss, my friend.
We absolutely do. It is officially Super Bowl week here.
Yeah, it is officially Super Bowl week. And if anything we learned from this week is that the NBA has karma from, I would say, let's call it Christmas and all that talking crap, all that stuff, because the NBA took over Super Bowl week in a big way, sort of. Because the biggest sports trade of all time occurred over the weekend, Davis?
I would probably say so. I think it would be fun if maybe we listed off a few other unmemorable sports trades. But yeah, I think this is actually probably the craziest sports trade to happen somewhat in the middle of the night, which maybe unfortunately me and you were still both awake.
Yeah.
When this happened.
And we just actually got done watching the Royal Rumble. Shout out that. But also we watched the end of the Lakers-Knicks game, and me, you, and our friend Mason were just sitting there reminiscing, being like, dang, NBA sucks. There's not a lot going on. Yada, yada, yada. The Lakers, oh, they're doing all right, but I don't know. You leave, we're about to go to bed, and I see a notification on my phone, and I called you right away because you sent in our group chat. And Davis, before the tweet on the screen appeared that Shams had to confirm it was real, me and you and the entire Twitter internet world thought Shams was hacked, because the tweet read, Luka Doncic was traded to the Lakers?
Yep.
I will never forget that. I can't even remember. Was it a minute and a half? Like, where it was like, he's hacked. Like, this is a bad trade from the hacker. Like, he didn't even do a good enough job. This isn't funny. All right. Let's see if it's still up. And for a second, I actually thought I told you that it was deleted for a second.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was real. Yep. He confirmed it with the tweet on the screen if you're watching on YouTube that says, yes, this is real. He's a Laker. And then chaos ensued, Davis. Chaos absolutely ensued. And if you're watching on YouTube, he has had the press conference since. He has practiced with LeBron. He is wearing the jersey on the right-hand part of the screen. And I'm looking at this right now, and I still can't process that it actually happened.
Yes,
so agreed. Give the people a recap of the last week of this Luka Doncic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, as expected, the Mavericks GM might as well have started to bury his – or really start digging his own grave, because, I mean, people are, again, very reasonably throwing up in arms about this trade, especially Mavericks fans.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but shout out the people of Dallas. That has to be
– that's hard to say, but yes, yeah. Agreed. I mean, the fact that the Lakers – only had to give up one first round pick when Ethan, remember, I mean, in years prior, I've talked about the idea of trading Joel Embiid, which now I'm not, obviously trade deadline is done this year. Seems possible. Yeah, a team can trade their superstar. We can see that
anything
now.
Anything is on the table now.
But only for one first round anything. Pick. So Rudy Gobert got traded for 4. Mikal Bridges got traded for 5.
Davis, we'll go to the next slide and you'll see what the Lakers actually did. But they traded for a center this morning.
They did.
What's his name? Mark Williams.
Mark Williams. Yep. 7-2.
They gave up more draft capital for Mark Williams than they did for Luka Doncic. I know that Anthony Davis is involved, and that's one thing I think that's getting lost in all this. Anthony Davis is a great player. He's having a great year, actually. He's a like top three defensive player in the league right now, him, Rudy Gobert, and then take your pick, honestly. But he is a great offensive player who has been begging to play the power forward spot for a couple of years now, and we'll get his wish in Dallas. So who knows? Maybe we'll see Anthony Davis revitalized. But Davis, the fact that Luka Doncic is a 25-year-old superstar, coming off averaging 34 points last year, 9 assists and 9 rebounds,
and their worry was conditioning. Coming
off an NBA Finals appearance.
Yes, 100%. 3 games away from being called NBA.
7 months ago, they were in the NBA Finals.
Yes. Ethan, the biggest part about this trade that people are talking about why it happened and why it happened so quickly is because of Luka's conditioning. If you tell me that the guy is 270, putting up 34, 9, and 9.
Like, these aren't the best pictures. They're not high-res 8K quality. But does this man look 270 to you?
Good for him if he put on the fat suit.
6'7". He can wear it well.
Good for him if he can put on the fat suit like Harden has in the past and got out of Dallas, whatever. I know, you know, he was very upset. You know, he denied a lot of calls from Nico, the GM over there in Dallas that night.
Yeah.
I know, and the whole conditioning thing I know goes back to him playing like not playing any defense in the past.
Which he's not the greatest defender.
Hitting 270 was over the offseason. But look, I'm looking at it the other way and saying, if you can get this guy down to 235, is he gonna average 40, 12, and 12?
Like, yeah, seriously.
How good is this guy? So
that's the thing.
Look, the Lakers have
he had a game with 70 points last year, yes. And he had a 60-point triple double that same season.
I think, did he not have a 60-point triple-double with 60, 20, and 10?
Yeah. Yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
That's look, 20 assists.
I don't know if this is going to affect the NBA Finals this year. I hope it does for both of our sake, because we immediately put on Lakers to win the championship as this trade happened.
Which, by the way, since the Lakers center trade happened, they're now 17-1, and we got them at 27 and 29.
Make that 15. The trade for Mark Williams today.
Yeah.
Look, I'm telling you, I don't know if this is going to affect who's going to win the NBA Finals this year, but I will tell you, the Lakers, it's going to look like in 2 years or so that they're going to win this trade 1,000% based off of the future value here.
Yeah.
And look, here's the other thing.
They're a good team right now. They're fifth in the West right now, Davis. Correct. They're going to have a 3 or 4-game win streak going. JJ Redick looking like possibly a coach of the year. I mean, this isn't the NBA. It is the NBA. It's not the biggest award ever, coach of the year, but he's looking like it. And, I mean, before we get too lost in this, just – the one thing I have to get back on, Davis, is the GM of the Mavericks, Nico Harrison, who, by the way, let's mention, him and Rob Pelinka, the GM of the Lakers, have a close relationship because of Kobe Bean Bryant. Rob Pelinka was the agent, and Nico Harrison was his Nike rep or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they worked very closely on the Team Mamba team, and they both came in the mid-2005s, right when Kobe signed to Nike. So this is when Kobe entered the Black Mamba, crazy psycho Kobe era, where all he did was play basketball and train. That's it. So it's natural if Nico Harrison is looking at a guy like Luka and is like, hey, Rob, remember our guy Kobe? Like, this guy, Luka, is nothing like him. And somehow that evolved into them being friends and talking about that trade privately. The fact that Nico did not shop a 25-year-old superstar in his prime to the rest of the league blows my mind. And that's the part that people can pick apart and talk about conspiracy theories and how the NBA wanted LA to have Luka for whatever reason, or the casino reasons of the new Dallas owners, whatever the conspiracy theories that I've seen online are. But the fact that teams like the Thunder and the Rockets and the Spurs, who've been gathering assets for years, begging for something like this to happen, didn't get a call, blows my mind. Because you're seeing guys like Rudy Gobert go for 4 first-round picks. Guys like Mikal Bridges go for 5 first-round picks. I mean, the Nets didn't trade a guy like Cam Johnson today because they wanted 2 first-round picks. That's the going rate for role players in this league. And you traded Luka Doncic for a 2029 first and Anthony Davis? You're betting on Luka Doncic not being good for the Lakers in the year 2029. That's basically what the Mavericks are doing. because not only could he also walk it from free agency in 2026, like, and get a bigger deal from someone else, it, like, the possibilities are limitless now. They have shanked him out of $100 million out of the Supermax, too, which is getting a little bit lost, but who cares? The man also, you know, bought a $15 million house, reportedly, all this stuff. But the fact that GM Nico Harrison did not shop him blows my mind. That, and I know I just wasted a couple minutes on that, but holy crap, Davis.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that, look, that's why in 2K they put the little thing that says trade finder.
2K wouldn't allow it.
You can shop players.
It's crazy.
On a video game, and they won't do that in the league here. Nope. I agree. Completely preposterous. I do think that this is the craziest trade in NBA history. It is 1,000% up there in, I would say, baseball, in all sports.
Sports history. I mean, the only thing I was thinking is maybe, like, Babe Ruth getting traded to the Yankees. Like,
I mean, it's like the Herschel Walker trade, but that involves a lot of picks.
Ricky Williams, maybe.
You can't even say that because those all involve picks.
Yeah.
Like, this is superstar for superstar, but it's
never has the NBA traded two all NBA players coming off of their all NBA years for each other. It's crazy.
I saw a baseball comparison that it would be like trading Bryce Harper for Ronald Acuna, and I'm like, I actually kind of agree. I would actually say that possibly could be right, but there's a lot more trades.
Anthony Davis, right?
There's a lot more trades to get into.
So let's do that. Let's do that real quick. We already mentioned the Lakers getting Mark Williams, but they gave up two first rounds. One's protected in a pick swap, but still, anyway. But let's go to the other ones. De'Aaron Fox got traded to the Spurs, Davis, and he's actually made his debut since they beat the Hawks last night. He played pretty well. I watched it. I'm getting back in my NBA phase. I can't lie. It revitalized the juices a little
bit. I agree.
Yeah, it got me going. But what do you think about De'Aaron Fox on the Spurs? Like, everyone's talking about Luka. This trade's it's not this year. It's the years to come. But we'll see about that. But this is truly the years to come trade where him and Wemby could be quite the duo, Davis.
I agree. I think out of all of these trades that we're seeing on screen, including the Luka one, not including the Luka trade, this could have the most future implications just because you're pairing an amazing all-star caliber young guard in De'Aaron Fox with possibly the greatest unicorn in basketball history in Victor Wembanyama.
Who's having a great year. Victor Wembanyama is having a fantastic year. People are not watching him.
I would actually, not in a bad way, I give him props. It actually might be a down year for him when he looks back at it because his team around him has not been very helpful. I mean, they signed Chris Paul this year just to basically dish him the ball. And
he can't average 10 points to save his life right now.
No, he's averaging like 4 points and 8 assists. So I think
playing like 30 minutes a night.
I think that this trade is going to be huge for the future of the league just because of Victor Wembanyama.
Have you watched Stephon Castle on the Spurs too?
Yes, I have.
He can jump out the gym. It's crazy. The Spurs are a kind of a fun team. They were on ESPN probably for the last time this season last night. So if you ever able to watch them. They're a fun team, especially Wemby. My God, it is crazy watching a 7'6" guy get the ball and jab, but the ball's like up here above everyone's head, and he just shoots it above everybody who's double teamed at the same time. It's wild. It's really mind bending stuff. But before we get to these other little ones, Jimmy Butler traded to the Warriors last night. So the reason we really haven't done a podcast since the Luka trade, which we probably should have, but we were waiting because I don't know if you guys follow us on Instagram. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Bocce Boys. Make sure you do that because for a second, Davis, it looked like KD was headed to the Warriors in a trade that would have put Butler in Phoenix. But at the last second, it looked like KD said no, and he did not want any part of the Warriors. And it ended up being Jimmy Buckets that headed there, and he also signed an extension, which is really just like a one-year deal for him to get money next year. But that stuff kind of went under the wire that KD almost reunited in Golden State for a second.
Yeah, it came out that he didn't, as you said, not only did he not want to get traded, he did not want to go to Golden State.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a lot of friction in the Suns locker room right now after all that. But I want to throw it out there right now. I think that this trade for the Warriors is a complete disaster. I think that they are trying to hold on to any type of dynasty that they used to have. I think that this trade could crumble in their faces. I'm not telling you that the package the Heat got back was amazing. They got Andrew Wiggins, and a first round pick, and I think another player. But look, I think that the Warriors are, again, they're just trying to hold on, and they should have done what the Bulls did with the final, the Last Dance, as in, not, you don't have to shop around Steph Curry, but I just think it's time to, you know, almost give up on it. I would say, you know, this is not your Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson was a perfect sidekick to, you know, Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I mean, he was fading quickly. They had to do what they had to do there.
But this Warriors team has shown their issues the last 2 years, and I don't think that this trade will help them out in the future, especially giving a 35-year-old guard this type of money.
Yeah, and who knows why KD actually didn't want to go back, but I heard some reports it's probably linked to Draymond, and if I was the Warriors, I would have tried to, like, just send the trade through Draymond for KD involved, get Draymond out of there, bring in KD. But, like, you know, the Warriors did what they had to do. I kind of agree. I don't think it's going to be the best trade, especially Jimmy Butler coming off this dramatic exit out of Miami, when Miami never has dramatic exits, actually. They never do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Jimmy's a great player, though, and I will say, the power of this to explode in our faces is massive because of Jimmy Butler, like 2 years ago, being in the NBA Finals. He has shown, like, when he gets in the playoffs, he's a completely different player. His playoff averages are like 10 times better than his regular season averages all time. Like, the guy is a monster. And straight up, if him and Steph Curry get in a playoff matchup with, I don't know, let's say like the Nuggets, or I don't know, like one of these, like Memphis or Houston, these young Western Conference teams that are talented, that they're just going to get outclassed by veterans like these two. And that's, we could see that, but, you know, they'd have to, you know, get past, you know, an 8 or 7 seed at that point. We'll see.
Right. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see matchup wise when it comes.
Yeah, it's all about matchups. You know that. Yeah. For sure. And then these other two, Kuzma for Middleton. I just wanted to throw that on there. Like, poor Chris Middleton. Just getting dealt for Kyle Kuzma in his worst year in the NBA.
I know. Yeah.
Going to Oblivion in Washington. It's that sucks.
Yeah. This is a tough trade. This is two former all-star-ish caliber players dwindling, getting traded just to probably see if we can.
Yeah.
Really, just so Milwaukee can maybe have a little spark here, just to try to get back on top of the East. And then the Knicks and the Celtics and the Cavs are all playing really well. So Milwaukee hasn't been in this position the last few years where they're kind of middle of the pack. I don't think this trade's going to work out very well for them. This is, without a doubt, Kyle Kuzma's worst year in the league when it comes to efficiency-wise. And look, Chris Middleton couldn't stay on the court health-wise, but we'll see. You never know when you have Giannis. That's the type of stuff with teams in the NBA. Agree.
I totally agree, and I wanted to add Bleacher Report's graphic that said that, like, this is the new big three, but I couldn't fit it. But not everyone's a big three. Kyle Kuzma is the epitome of not a big three guy. Let's get that crap out of here. And then Brandon Ingram to the Raptors. You told me this when we were on the phone this morning. I didn't even see it. It happened in the dead middle of the night. This is the same thing as Kyle Kuzma. Poor Brandon Ingram. He's kind of fallen off a cliff. The Pelicans have been terrible this year. He was an all-star like 2 years ago, balling out of his mind. And now he's traded to the Raptors in the middle of the night and nobody really cares. So
this is actually a trade I think I could see for future reasons.
We'll see. Yeah.
This
could Scotty Barnes could be a nice duo.
Yeah, I agree. And they're gonna have a decent solid pick this coming year. And you know, I'm not saying watch out for Toronto, but say I think that they can definitely be a team on the up starting next year with those two.
I hate seeing them in the playoffs, and this adds to that factor.
Well, we all know why we hate seeing Toronto in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's not unearth more things. All right, but it was a crazy trade deadline. Also, Zach LaVine went to the Kings, reunited with DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Who cares? The Bulls don't know what they're doing. Who knows where Cooper Flagg's going to go? That was the thing I was really trying to see, who's going to, like, try and unload at the deadline to tank for Cooper Flagg, and no one really did. So
He ends up. The Thunder will trade their 29 picks for the first pick.
Oh, my God. That would be crazy. Or if he ends up in Washington and you just never hear from him again.
Yeah.
All right, Davis. Let's get to the main event. It is Super Bowl week. Super Bowl is this Sunday, Davis. The Eagles and the Chiefs. The matchup is finally here. There's been media going on this week. All this stuff, yada, yada, yada. Not really a headline-filled Super Bowl week, I would say. Like, nothing really happened. I saw Travis Kelce get asked by the media that he was like, they were like, if you could ask us one question, what would it be? And he was like, yeah, why do you guys keep bringing up the refs thing? And honestly, it's a great question. I don't know why the media is leading into it. It's very weird. But other than that, Davis, what's your been takeaway of this Super Bowl lead up?
I mean, I try to stick, like, you know, to the facts or what, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can only, my mind has thought about the Super Bowl for the last, 9 days. And I'm very close to being done thinking about it. And I'm not saying that as in I'm like not excited to watch games.
There's just not much more to think about.
Every scenario has popped into my head. We can get into a little bit more about the game, what has popped into my head. But I think the biggest news is that Jalen Carter has been sick the last 2 days.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Practice. I know a lot of people are coming out and saying flu game. We'll see. I think he'll be totally fine. Look, it's the last game of the year, and then you get a lot of time off. What are we doing in practice? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, what are we doing in practice this week that really needs Jalen Carter to be there? As long as he's there, 100%,
you never know.
Good, don't practice. If you told me he didn't practice all week and he'll be fine for the game, perfect, dude. Like, take your Advil, every 8 hours, and play on Sunday. I think he'll be totally fine.
I agree. The only thing that's been worrying me about that is that in the headline it said that whatever the illness is has been going around the team. So hopefully it's not like affecting too many people, and hopefully that doesn't, pause but rub off on anybody last minute, like on Sunday. Like, that could be a problem. We don't need Jalen Hurts really having a flu game or anything. Although I think that would only add to his aura heading into a Super Bowl like that. You know what I mean? Like, he would just be going in radiating with just.
Yeah,
he's the thing I can't get over with the Super Bowl is I refuse to believe Jalen Hurts came all this way, did all this internal maturing of the last couple of years to lose. He will not lose this weekend. The Mahomes factor is huge, but the Chiefs defense is the biggest factor going into the Sunday. If the Eagles defense can out run the ball, obviously with Saquon, but with him and Jalen, establishing any kind of run will nullify the pass. If we can't run the ball, passing is going to be difficult because, these Chiefs defenders have been game planning all week. They know exactly what A.J. Brown's going to do. They're looking for the slants. They're looking for Devontae Smith. They're looking for, whatever the hell we're doing with Dallas Goedert. In my opinion, doing those Dallas Goedert motion screens should wait for the Super Bowl for that. That's the perfect thing to break out in the Super Bowl where everyone's like, whoa, where's this been all year? Like, now I think that's in our repertoire. I think they're going to be expecting a little bit of craziness. Hopefully it's not too Dan Campbell crazy, but my X factor for this week, Davis, and I'll let you give yours in a second, is breaking the Chiefs defense. They have to run the ball down their throat. Have to. Because the Eagles are a multi-dimensional offense, and if we can't get one of them to work, then everything else doesn't work. And I know that sounds, probably very cliche, but this offense is an engine, and if you don't kickstart it early, it takes forever for it to, get cold started. It's an engine in the middle of January, and you need to warm that car up 15 minutes before, where you're trying to get to where you're trying to go. You know what I'm saying?
That's the nicest part about getting remote start on the 2024 Hyundai Elantra SEL. I think my X factor, and I agree with you with the defense of the Chiefs. They're bottom of the league, actually. Not bottom of the league, bottom half of the league, barely, when it comes to defense against the run. And, that might not sound terrible, but when it comes to teams in the Super Bowl, you're not usually seeing anything under than a bottom, a top 10 team in any type of stat. So that is very exploitable in my opinion, but I'll go on the flip side actually and say my X factor is going to be Vic Fangio. You have to stop Patrick Mahomes. I can't give it to one person on the defense because if you give the X factor to one person on the defense, it leaves someone else vulnerable. So I want to give it to Vic Fangio and say, hey, look, keep playing the same type of defense you've been playing all year. It's been working. Rush your front four, which is the best in football, without a doubt this year.
Might be getting an extra rusher this week.
We'll see.
Shout out PG.
And get to the quarterback. Disrupt Patrick Mahomes. I've seen all these stats about how he's already, you know, he's actually in the playoffs in his career. He's had to go down and score. He was losing with like 2 minutes left in the game or whatever, seven times in his career. And he's scored on all seven times he's had to.
Yes.
I mean, some insane stats like that, that are just that Tom Brady couldn't even reach. I mean, I think Tom Brady was like 8 for 19 in scenarios like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've won 17 straight one score games. They are.
Yep.
I mean, they're inevitable.
That are, inevitable that fall into the Eagles' favor.
They've been in, I mean, just putting out more general stats, the Chiefs have been in 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. They've just been in them. They haven't won all of those, but still, they have been death taxes, and the Chiefs get to the AFC Championship every single year. And they've been in the Super Bowl, obviously, the last 3 times, but. I know I've said this to you privately. I think I've said this on the podcast, but this is truly the Eagles' chance to end what they should have started in 2023. This is their time. They have the defense for it. This past defense, Davis, I want to talk about this for a second. They have been lights out all year. Quinyon Mitchell is so good, actually, that a reporter asked him what it was like when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl last time because he thought Quinyon was a veteran player, and Quinyon had to be like, I'm actually a rookie. This is my first year.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, oh, my bad. Quinyon is that good. And then, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of CJ just because CJ, because he talks his head off more than almost any other player. He should be in the NBA. He reminds me of Pat Bev. Like, he truly is the Pat Bev of the NFL.
You need that guy. I think
100%. 100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. We need him. And when we didn't have him last year, can't argue with the facts. The defense was not the same. Obviously, he does different things. He's a nickel corner. He can play safety very well. He's a multidimensional guy. But like you said, Davis, he's a glue guy. We need that kind of toughness on this defense. And I think it's really added it because Reed Blankenship's been everywhere. I mean, you see even guys like Sidney Brown kicking ass on this on the special teams. Like, I love the energy that Cooper DeJean brings. But at the end of the day, Davis, this is going to come down to our guy, big play Slay, and I think he's the Eagles defense X factor for this game. We need this one last game for Darius Slay because what got buried in the NFC Championship hype is that was probably Darius Slay's last game at the link. He's probably going to have to move on from the Eagles this year because I think he probably wants a little bit more money, and the Eagles are probably going to give Cooper DeJean a good look next year. We'll see. But Darius Slay, I would love to see an awesome game from him. Seriously.
I absolutely agree. I totally agree. Defense in this game, in my opinion, is going to be huge, especially on both sides of the ball because of how dominant both offenses have been. And you can say the Chiefs offense hasn't been super dominant this year, but it's a Super Bowl. They're dominant. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You can talk about stats all you want, but stats don't predict the future. You know what I mean? They can give you better probabilities on what could happen, but the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl and this is Andy Reid's time to shine.
I completely agree.
This is, you know, this is a battle.
And statistically, this was Mahomes' worst year and which like regular season wise, and this defense carried them the entire way after they lost their star receiver, Rashee Rice. Hollywood Brown basically didn't play until the last 2 weeks of the year. Like, I mean, Mahomes didn't have enough phenomenal year, but he got here. And I mean, also the Chiefs just like keep adding players, like guys like George Karloftis, who they drafted like 2 years ago, first round. And they're like, oh, I kind of forgot about him. He has a chance to be like the Chiefs, like all time postseason sack leader already. Like the guy, like they just keep adding guys. It's very freaking annoying
for sure.
And then what we also have to watch out for, and the, you know, the nice thing about the Super Bowl being 2 weeks is the Eagles' injuries. Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens look like they're both good to go, I think. I think Cam Jurgens is saying he's playing no matter what. The only thing that we have to worry about is Landon Dickerson. I think he said that he's expected to play, but I think he's probably way more injured of the two. Mm-hmm. And Davis, the guy that people don't give him enough credit for, Chris Mother Crappin' Jones. I'm going to throw the F-bombs this early in the pod. But Chris Jones is so freaking good. This is like Fletcher Cox in his prime kind of good. Yep. We've seen this kind of guy before. He could ruin Landon Dickerson's day real quick.
For sure. I, but I, everything that trust me, this is all going through my mind. And my only response,
I just want to get this out.
My only response back to myself when I think about all this type of stuff is, this is the Eagles built their offensive line for this game. This is exactly what they did.
Fair enough.
They did not build this offensive line to play the Carolina Panthers in a 4-point win in week 15. You know, like they built this line, the heaviest offensive line in NFL history, to beat this team, this Chiefs team, and get to the Super Bowl and get their second Lombardi trophy, to consider themselves one of the most legendary franchises in the NFL. I think that everything that we can say about the Chiefs or the Eagles can get flipped backwards on the other side. So that's why, I think the Eagles are going to win. I unbiasedly think the Eagles are going to win.
I also
unbiasedly think the Eagles should be favored, but that does not take into account that we're playing against Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is like playing
the Chiefs Tom have Brady. Earned respect of
this
being
is like
favored.
Playing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Yes, it really is. And people need to get that in their minds, that, and I think a lot of people do. There's a lot of,
not forget 2017. We took them down in a year that Tom Brady had arguably his best Super Bowl performance. He had 500 yards in that game. We beat him.
He's the only quarterback in NFL history to throw for 500 yards in a Super Bowl. And he lost by 8 points to the Philadelphia Eagles. So I completely agree. Let's move on to our – we talked about this a little bit more on the podcast, the last podcast. So if we missed anything, go ahead, shoot over that podcast.
Yeah, watch the last podcast. I agree.
Ethan, we got score predictions here.
Yeah, I like
it. It's pretty obvious who I think that we both think is gonna win this game. The one thing I want to touch on, though, and we can touch on who our MVP is.
I didn't want to say anything. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything about this before we sat down. So
Yep, absolutely. I haven't talked to you about a score prediction or who you thought was gonna win MVP. Yep. So we'll get to that. I quickly want to talk about our score, the amount of scoring that's going to be done. I have the Eagles winning by 10 points, you have the Eagles winning by 3. I thought
this out there last time as a joke that Patrick Mahomes has only lost like 4 1 score games in his entire career, or two score games in his career. He's only lost 4 2 score games in his career. Mm-hmm. And I think you laughed at that in the last podcast. And you're actually taking the Eagles to win by 2 scores.
I am, absolutely. Because I do not see a way. I do not see a way how this streak of one score winning ends.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to be honest. I will tell you right now, I think there are two ways this game goes down. It's either the Chiefs have the ball with 2 minutes left, down by 2 or down by 4, or the Eagles win in not blowout fashion, but in comfortable fashion with the two minute warning hitting. I'm taking the flip side of things and saying I think that we win in two-score fashion and the two-minute warning pops up and we get the ball back because the Chiefs don't turn the ball over on downs around the 50.
They did last game, I think.
And we kneel it out. I will tell you, we kneel the ball. We kneel the ball out to win the game. That is my take on the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. I would love for the Super Bowl to end in victory formation. I would. I really would. But – I almost threw this on the graphic, but I didn't find a way to – I didn't want to – it looks good enough. I didn't want to do that. I think there's a chance this might end in overtime, Davis.
Very possible.
And, the last Super Bowl ended in Super Bowl – the last Super Bowl ended in overtime. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't know the last time two Super Bowls ended in overtime back-to-back, but that would be probably some kind of record.
There's only been two Super Bowls that have ever gone to overtime.
Yeah, that's got to be – yeah, anyway. But, I really think this game is going to be close. And if we're going to slay the Giants going for history, it's going to be a historic game. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's the one thing I've come down to. This game is not going to be pretty at the end. It's going to be ugly. I think we could see turnovers on both sides. So that's my prediction. So if you see one turnover early, maybe it's Jalen Hurts, maybe it's not. Take a deep breath, you guys. It's a long, long game. Mm-hmm. It might be long enough that I think it might go to 5 quarters with a 5th overtime period. And I see it ending, and I don't know if we score first and get the field goal or we do it to end the time. I don't know. I think the Eagles win by 3. This is going to be a nail-biter no matter how you spin it. The Eagles are winning this game, but I mean, look at every single Chiefs playoff game ever. They don't end – in two scores. Like, I would love your prediction to be correct, and I would love Jalen Hurts to have 5 touchdowns, and he's the easy MVP, but it smells like Saquon Barkley gets, like 99 rushing yards and, like, 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So I was just going to ask, where's your MVP Saquon stat line?
I think he gets over, like, 100 scrimmage yards, and that's probably my lock, 100 scrimmage yards, but I think the Chiefs are going to do a somewhat good job. Like, I would love to see an early Saquon break. So if he breaks one early, I don't give a crap about my predictions. But I hope I'm right about this, but I think the Chiefs are going to do a good job. And there's going to be a couple. Like, Saquon might get a nice 20 to 30 yard boost one time or two. But, like, I'm seeing 3 touchdowns, but a little bit low on the yardage, which is crazy that we're talking like 99, 100 is low for Saquon, because I mean, he's just averaging like 150 a game.
Right. You know? 100%. I mean, his over under is like 120 for this game.
I know. It's crazy. By the way, I have a future again on the Eagles. I'm not betting on anything, I think.
No, I have not either.
I thought about putting like an extra $100 on the Eagles just to like make it a little bit sweeter if they win, but I can't do that to myself.
I did the same thing.
You did do that?
No, I was thinking thinking the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know we both have those Super Bowl futures that we're holding nice, tight and pretty too. On the flip side of things, I'm going with Jalen Hurts. You know, he had 3 rushing touchdowns in the Super Bowl that we played against the Chiefs 2 years ago. He probably, and without a doubt, would have been the MVP if we won that game.
You sure would have, yeah. But that was the best NFL game.
This is a game, I agree with you. I don't think we're going to look back and say, wow, they did a great job on Saquon. He only had 55 yards or 60 yards. Like, I agree. I think he can 100% put up 80 or 90, which is very good. You know, in comparison to the last few games, it's low for him. But, you know, I think he's going to be a factor in this game without a doubt. He's going to be an X factor. But I see Hurts being a contributor to all 3 of the touchdowns that the Eagles score in my 27-17 prediction. Whether that be 2 in the air and 1 on the ground, which I wouldn't be shocked about, because I think they're going to utilize A.J. Brown a lot. He's actually someone that I would take a look at for MVP odds. I didn't put him on here because that's a long shot. He's like 50-1, I think. But I would not be shocked in seeing Jalen Hurts throwing for 230, 2 touchdowns, and getting a nice little tush push to give us that 2-score lead in the fourth quarter. This is – I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
You better know we're going to see a couple of tush pushes, Davis.
For sure. I've been dreaming about this game, Ethan. I don't see a way where the non-quarterback or the quarterback of the winning team does not win Super Bowl MVP. And Saquon's actually more of a favorite than Hurts. But I think that the voters are going to look at Jalen Hurts and say he was a contributing factor on all aspects of the game, running the ball, throwing the ball, clock management, scoring touchdowns, throwing touchdowns. I have to give it to Jalen Hurts.
He's the quarterback. It comes down to him, and people like to debate this fact all day and all night, but it comes down to the quarterback at the end of the day, even if he's handing it off to Saquon, which Saquon, I do want to add, I think we talked about this off the air. I want to throw this on the air. He's 30 yards away from breaking the all-time regular and postseason record held by Terrell Davis, who, you know, Saquon's already had his historic season. Just to throw the little cherry on top, I would love him to have that. But, Davis, we're here.
Deep breaths.
There's not much more to talk about. There's not much more to think about. Like, you can listen to WIP the next couple of days, because it is time to blank slate the brains and just think about the birds. That's all you need to think about. Wear your birds gear on Friday. You're going to be listening to this on Friday, but wear it out on Friday night. Make sure you're wearing it on Saturday. Make sure you're thinking about the birds Friday and Saturday night before you go to bed, so that you're dreaming about the birds. Mm-hmm. Make sure that, you know, you maybe make sure you're not like eating any birds though. I think that's bad karma, Davis. Ooh, what do you think?
I don't mind it. No hamburgers. No hamburgers though. And that's Andy Reid's favorite. Doesn't he like cheeseburgers?
Okay. All right, fair.
No cheeseburgers.
Okay, no, I'm having Italian tonight. I thought it was maybe. All right, cool. My dad said order, and I had to check. All right, we're good.
That was close.
No hamburgers. I like it. Make sure you're not wearing any red the rest of the weekend. All that stuff. Yeah, Davis, where are you watching? It's most important.
Watching on 16th and Broad Street in the city.
Just giving out your address. I appreciate that.
It's not my address. It's not even an address. It's just a cross street. But yeah, close.
There.
Yeah,
close. There, there you go. Nice.
Ethan, where are you
here.
Watching?
Let's go. I'm watching here. We're all right. Home base, baby. Let's all go. Right.
I like
Hopefully
it.
Hopefully my dog doesn't run away this time. Let's go. Yeah.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. All right, Davis. I'm really anxious. I just like.
We'll be good.
We'll be good. We'll be good. We'll be good. Make sure you tune in next week because we will definitely be doing a recap. No matter what happens, maybe later depends on what happens with the game, but. We're back. We're back to doing our regular scheduled programming. By the way, it's middle of February. It's a little late Super Bowl, so March is around the corner. Don't forget, people, we will get you excited for college basketball. The Bocce Wizard here. Make sure you're following us on Instagram. We're posting more. I know we do other stuff, but make sure you're just following us on Instagram. We love you guys. Like, subscribe, share, all that stuff. Davis, roll that outro.